temperature in here. Okay. Luke chapter 10. I hope that you weren't too busy this week so that you didn't get your homework done on Martha. If you were, then maybe after today, you'll be able to do that. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him, and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." In one of Charles Wesley's hymns, he wrote, "Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part, serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart." That is a blessed balance that we all strive for. We all, that's our goal, is to have that balance of that Mary's heart and yet Martha's busyness in serving without the distraction, though. We need that balance in our lives, and that balance is a choice that we need to make each and every day as long as we walk with the Lord. It's not just a one-time choice, because 5 minutes from now our flesh might rule over us, unfortunately. So it's just a conscious decision that we make to choose the better part and to not get distracted. Now this is the section I want to talk about this morning concerning Martha. Your homework covered different portions, and there are different lessons that we can learn with that. But today we want to look at this lesson on distraction. In verse 38, it tells us that Jesus, and he was traveling with his disciples, so they came into this village, and Martha, it was her home, and she welcomed Jesus into her home. She had that gift of hospitality. She just opened the door and was very glad that he was there. I'm sure she was very excited. I mean, here he is, this great teacher, this great prophet that everyone was talking about, and whether she knew who he was at this point in time, I don't know, but she had respect for him. She welcomed him into her home. And then in verse 39, it tells us she had a sister named Mary, and we also know from another section that she has a brother named Lazarus. And then in verse 40, it tells us that Martha was distracted with much serving. And that word distracted means she was overoccupied. It means to draw away the mind or the attention in another direction. Now, I don't know that if that's ever happened to you before, that you can relate to what being distracted by much serving is, being overoccupied, being drawn away. Her attention was not on her guest, was not on Jesus. Her attention was rather on her chores, her busyness, her duties, her things that she was doing in her home. So she wasn't spending that time with her guest. Her mind was busy on all the preparations, and did she forget anything, and did she get everything right and all together and all those things that women do and go through. And because her mind and her attention were not on the Lord, then she had lost perspective, because that happens with us when we don't have our mind on the Lord, when it's somewhere where it's not supposed to be, we lose perspective, and we can lose it pretty fast. Now, this caused her then to complain, to murmur, and to grumble, because when we lose perspective, that's what starts in on us. That murmuring, that grumbling, and that complaining, you're smiling, you know what I'm talking about. And then it led her to go even further with that in really just telling Jesus what to do. And quite possibly we have done that a time or two, thinking we knew best. She knew Jesus was in her home. She knew that he saw her being busy. And he saw her being busy all by herself, because her sister was sitting at his feet. She wasn't doing anything, according to Martha. And so he saw, well, didn't he care? Didn't he care? Don't you care, Lord, that I'm doing this all by myself? I'm putting these chairs away all by myself? And look at all those other people. They're just standing around fellowshipping and things like that. And she says to him, my sister has left me to serve alone, which tells us that Mary at one time was serving. She was in there with Martha, but she had left and she went and sat at Jesus' feet. Then she tells Jesus what to do. Tell her to get up and get back in here and help me. I don't want to do this alone. Then verses 41 and 42, Jesus, to me, he calms her. He brings her back to reality. I don't know with the tone of his voice when he said, Martha, Martha. We can go around the world with different tones. You know, maybe he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried, you're troubled. Just get her attention. Or Martha, Martha. Put your name in there. I'm sure you've heard that from the Lord before. And he really tells her, you don't need more help. You need more time with me. You need a change of heart is what you need. Now, Jesus does not rebuke Martha for serving. He does not rebuke Martha for being busy in serving. Now, we saw last week with the Proverbs 31 woman, she does not eat the bread of idleness. You read all those verses, this woman has no time for anything else. She is busy. She's busy, but she's busy doing what she's called to do. And she wasn't distracted by her busyness. Martha was. He rebukes her for the attitude of her heart, the distraction that her service was. Martha is a wonderful lesson on hospitality and on serving the Lord, because later in John we see that again she was in somebody else's house and there was a supper and she served and there was no mention of a rebuke or anything. So being busy is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, as long as we're not distracted by our busyness. And Martha was distracted. She was preoccupied. She was drawn away from the whole reason she was to be doing what she was doing. And then that causes a problem in our heart, an attitude problem. And she had an attitude problem, but the one thing that she did is she took that to Jesus. She didn't stay in the kitchen, and if there was any servants or anyone else around, she didn't, you know, go from person to person murmuring and complaining about, do you see my sister? I always do everything all by myself. And all of those things. She didn't do that. She went directly to the Lord, which is a good lesson for us. When we find that grumbling in our heart, take it to the Lord. Now, we all know, if we've walked with the Lord for any length of time and heard any kind of Bible study, we know that we're supposed to spend time at the Lord's feet. We know this passage, we know this verse, that we're to choose the better part, the one thing that is needful. And usually, that's the thing that most Christians struggle with. It's the thing that we don't do, that we should do. And then we walk around thinking, I should do this, and I'm not doing this, and then you can get in condemnation and all that. We become distracted. Now, the Lord's heart is for us to sit at his feet. The Lord's heart is for us to sit and to be quiet before him, to listen to him, to be still before him, to spend time in his word, to spend time in prayer. But we get caught up in this busyness. And it's okay when we're doing what he's called us to do. But when even when we're doing what he's called us to do and we get distracted by it, then there's danger. There's a problem. So these distractions, that's something that draws our attention off of what it's supposed to be on. And it could be, like this baskets we put together. I mean, we could have been so wrapped up in arranging those little things and doing the little bow and doing all of that that you'd forget what you're doing it for. That's distracting. That's what Jesus would rebuke our hearts for. I would like to say that none of us were distracted last night. Distraction is a choice. We can allow something to distract us. We can allow something to occupy our mind or to take our mind off of what we're supposed to be having it on, or we can choose not to. And it's a choice. So why do we get so distracted? Why is that? Now, as I sat here and prayed about this, and I came up with three reasons why. Now, there are probably 100 reasons why or more, but I only came up with three. Probably because I've experienced all three of these, and you might find yourself somewhere in these. Maybe Martha is in one of these categories, or maybe she's not. I don't know. But maybe you'll find yourself somewhere in there, or at least, oh, yes, I've been there before, or, ooh, I need to be careful about that, or whatever it might be. Because the desire of our heart, when we come to know the Lord, and if you want to walk with the Lord and you want to love the Lord, your heart is, I want to sit at his feet. It's just that struggle there, the distraction. Now, of course, a big distraction is the enemy. He does not want you sitting at the Lord's feet. He does not want you reading the word, and he does not want you to pray. So he shoots his fiery darts, and he comes in there and tries to distract in whatever way that he can. But then there are areas that are out of the spiritual warfare realm, and they're just within our own, whatever you want to call that, us, our own us. Now, the first one that I came up with, which I tend to see Martha in this way a little bit, is that of being a perfectionist. Now, remember that Martha had told Jesus, "My sister has left me to serve alone." Okay? Which means Mary was in there helping her get everything all ready. Now, maybe everything was done in the kitchen. Mary did what she needed to do, chopped this and that and put this and there and set the table or did whatever that needed to be done. And Mary saw that it was done. And then Mary chose to leave the pot simmering on the fire, leave all of that, and then go sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, maybe for a Martha, things weren't perfect enough. Maybe that perfectionist in us has to watch the pot simmer. And we get distracted by that. Now, those of us who are perfectionists are never satisfied. We will never be satisfied because nothing is perfect, including yourself. So you're never satisfied with yourself. Now, I am a perfectionist. I will admit it. In fact, you probably already knew that. Nothing is perfect. Nothing will ever be perfect. But I have resigned to the fact that I know this. I know. I will not be perfect. You will not be perfect. Nothing will be perfect. So why worry about it? But perfectionists also, they would rather do things themselves. So the fact that Mary left probably really didn't bother Martha that much, because she would rather get her hands in there and do it herself anyway, because then at least if it's not perfect, she only has her to blame and not somebody else. You know, now, this keeps a person like this busier. because they're doing everything themselves. And they're doing it over and over again. And it's just not quite right. This is the person that goes back to, you know, rearrange the thing on the table or rearrange this. And I'm not that bad. We're all perfectionists in different ways. But it's that is distracting. The whole thing, the whole allowing Jesus to come into the house and serving him and preparing his meal is wonderful. But the distraction part needs to be rebuked in all of us. So this perfectionist type of person is very, very busy. And even when their task is through, they still watch over it to make sure it's going to be okay. And to me, I see Martha like this. Everything was probably done. And yet, she just wants to make sure that it's going to be perfect. I don't know if you know this story, but it's a good illustration. There was a father, and he had a daughter. And every night, they would eat dinner together, and then they would go sit by the fire. And they loved spending time with each other, just fellowshipping and talking. And they would do this every night. Well, as time went on, his daughter would excuse herself a little earlier in the evening, and she would go upstairs into her room. And night after night, she would excuse herself a little earlier and a little earlier and a little earlier until one night she left dinner and went right up into her room and left her father alone by the fire. Well, a little while after that, she left the dinner, went up to her room, and then came back down with a package. And she was so excited. And she said to her father, "Here, I have a present for you. I made this for you." And he opened it up, and she had knitted him a pair of socks. And she was so thrilled by what she had done and all the work. And he was very happy and very pleased. But he told her, "I would have much rather enjoyed your company than the gift that you gave me." And that's kind of the same thing with the Lord. We can be so busy doing things for Him, great things for Him, that we neglect that time with Him, which is the most important thing, the better part. Now, there is another reason I see that we get distracted. And this is fear. Now, maybe Martha, she wanted Jesus to come into her house. She was so excited for him to be there, and so she gets to serve him, but she doesn't know what to say to him. She doesn't know how to sit at his feet. What do you do? She's more comfortable being busy, because then she doesn't have to deal with whatever might happen. So have you ever found yourself keeping yourself busy because you feel uncomfortable being still? And sometimes busy people are like that. They're going here, they're going there, they're doing this, they're doing that, because they're uncomfortable being still. Excuse me. And these people, maybe you have company for dinner, and they're new people. You don't know them very well, so you're not really comfortable with that. So you keep yourself very busy in the kitchen, very busy making sure everything is right instead of spending time with your guests. Maybe you'll go sit down with your guests, but then you don't quite know what to do after a few minutes, and then you get up and you go in the kitchen and be busy again because you don't know how to sit and talk. Maybe in your service to the Lord at church or even at a ladies' retreat where you can be so busy serving because out of fear of, if I'm just sitting here, somebody's going to talk to me, or I want to talk to them, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And sometimes we can keep ourselves so busy and allow the busyness to distract us, to draw us away from that time at the Lord's feet out of fear, because we're afraid. We don't know how to sit at His feet. We don't know how to be quiet before Him. We don't know how to spend time with the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Well, what do? You read them? What do? Or, well, I pray, but it's so short, and then I don't know what to do after that, or I don't know how to listen to him, and it's a fearful thing, so you'd rather just, you know, run in and say your prayer and run out and continue serving. And we do this out of fear. And sometimes we do this out of fear that he might reveal something to us when we sit quietly before Him, that we might be confronted with self. We might be confronted with the sin that's in our heart, because He tends to do that. He tends to stir our hearts and sift through and refine and bring those things that aren't pleasing to the surface, because we have a way of burying them and hiding them. And when we keep busy, we can forget about it. But when we sit quietly before Him, He reveals these things to us, and maybe we don't want to hear it. So the busyness, the distraction is an escape away from that. And then the last thing, which is the saddest thing to me, but it's true, is that it's simply not important enough. I just would rather do what I want to do than sit at the Lord's feet. It's just not the priority in my life, so that I arrange the time in my day. I allow all those urgent things to take the place of that most important thing, and that is sitting at His feet. You like the doing part more than the relationship part with the Lord. And sometimes we can get our relationship part mixed up and think it's serving all the time, instead of that quietness before Him and allowing Him to speak to us. And I can be busy serving, and I can be busy hearing these studies or sharing these studies, but words don't mean anything. The fruit means everything. If I just say, oh, I've got to spend more time with the Lord. Oh, yes, I need to do that. Good intentions don't get us anywhere. We need to stop, and we need to do what we need to do, and that is sit at His feet. So maybe you find yourself in one of these three areas. Maybe there's other reasons. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it is a choice. Now, when we hear messages like this, we tend to feel condemned, because maybe we're not sitting at His feet enough. Maybe we are being a Martha. And you know, and we joke about it, and we can joke about it and laugh about it and not do anything about it. It's one thing to joke about it and then repent. But when we just joke about it and continue to do, that's not good. But crying over it and walking around in condemnation doesn't do any good either. Condemnation gets you nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And condemnation is not from the Lord. Conviction is. We need to learn the difference between condemnation and conviction. Now, when we're told we're supposed to do something, and we know we're supposed to do it, and we're not doing it, then we can do different things. We can justify why we're not doing it, which you can just throw that one out the window, because that's not going to work. Or you can just feel bad about it, and that's the condemnation thing. Oh, I'm just rotten, I'm horrible, you know, kind of a thing. And we can walk around and beat ourselves up. But, you know, when there's conviction, there's also that shame or that sadness or that grieving. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Sometimes feeling bad isn't bad. That's what it's supposed to be. When we're confronted with sin or something that we've done wrong, feeling bad is a part of that. It's a part of that process of repentance. But sitting in that is condemnation. And again, that won't get us anywhere. But turning and doing gets us places. So, you know, I don't know what your devotional life is. I don't know if you are a Martha, if you are a Mary. I hope that you are a Martha in the sense of you're busy serving the Lord. I don't want you to be a Martha that's distracted by serving the Lord. But I don't know your heart. Only you and the Lord know your heart. Only the Lord and I know my heart and what's going on in my life. But it's always a good time to sit and to allow the Lord to search our hearts, to show us, is that me? Am I allowing myself to be distracted because I'm afraid? I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid of what you're going to do or what you're going to say. Or, Lord, is that me that I just want everything so perfect that I am just missing out on the most important thing? Because all these little details that are going to burn matter more to me. Or, Lord, is that me that you were just not in the place that you're supposed to be in? It's just not as important. Because, you know, important things, we have a way of rearranging our schedules to do what we want to do, don't we? It doesn't matter how busy you are. I mean, if you want to do something, you're going to do it. And so that brings conviction right there. Conviction is good. No condemnation. So, and of course, you know, it's not a coincidence that we're doing Martha right before Christmas. Because that's the time where we really can get caught up in it. And, you know, you're around your friends and you hear everyone saying, oh, I'm getting so caught up in da 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 and decorating and trees and da da da, and I want to know the meaning of Christmas. So I want to sit, and yet we just talk. Oh, we're not doing anything. Let's do something about it. And this morning I want to give us that opportunity. Maybe this morning you woke up and you didn't have your quiet time. Maybe it was too busy, too distracting, and we allowed those things to get in the way of our time with the Lord. Well, we're going to have that. Maybe I haven't done that all week. Maybe I haven't done that all month. Or maybe that is simply just not a part of my walk. Well, this is a beginning. This morning will be a beginning. Now, we'll start in a few minutes, but let me just say this. When we sit before the Lord this morning, now for some people, your heart is saying, oh, yes, thank you. This is wonderful. I need that quiet. And for others, it's scary. There's a fear involved there because you don't know what to do, because this is not something you're used to doing. Just be still. Be quiet. Try not to fidget. I mean, you can be distracted by your own body, your own fidgeting, or letting your mind wander. Open up His Word wherever you are in your devotional time, or if you aren't in your devotional, you don't have a devotional time, reread those few verses. Let the Lord lead you somewhere in His Word that you would sit before Him and read, or pray to Him, or just be quiet and listen. Maybe it's been a long time since you've taken that time. Just sit and listen to that still, small voice. He's speaking to us all the time. It's the busyness and the distractions that keep us from hearing Him. So what we want to do, we're going to take a real quick break. If you need to take a break, take a break. Check your babies and do whatever you need to do so we can get back in here and not have the distraction of anybody getting up and down. And, let's close in prayer and we'll do that and then I'll continue. Lord, I pray that you would take these words, Lord, on this page and the words that were shared, and that you would find a place in our hearts, Lord. And I pray that you would do that needed work in our lives. And Father, for those sisters who find themselves in one of these categories, Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts. Bring those things to the surface, Lord. We sang those songs and we prayed those to you. And we expect you to answer those, Lord. And we won't run away. Just speak to us, Lord, and help us. And help us to sit still before you. And Lord, I pray for your peace to be upon us. And Lord, for those who this is a new thing and they don't quite know how, and maybe they've never sat still for a whole hour with you, Lord, I pray that it would be a sweet time. And Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would minister, that you would move among us, Lord. thank you for being here, for being present with us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.